on. I think right now I'm looking, you're in tied for the Virtual Patients Award with Marianne, who's holding right behind you. But John in Dallas, Texas, listening on Sirius XM 130, welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hello, Jerry and Debbie. Can you hear me,
John?
Okay?
Well. Thank you for calling.
Well, interestingly enough, a first comment, Jerry, on you and your admission of being the worst sufferer there possibly can be. The mere fact that you've expressed that, I can't help but believe that you're working on that and that it is probably a lot better for you than you think, or at least that you're describing to everybody else, and you're a great example for us.
Oh, well, I get plenty of chances to work on it, John, but I maybe one in 100 I manage to be okay with it. But thank you so much. You're very kind.
Well, soon it'll be 2 in 100. It's probably there already.
Yeah.
I see similarities in Kathleen and Martha's and Jana's testimony in the things that they've said and described. It's really touching me. And what precipitated that was a question, Debbie, that you asked them. It was this, you know, if you're stuck in suffering, you know, what gets you out? And I'd like to make a delineation right off from the very beginning at such a base level that it may be assumed here, but it's number one, a belief in God. And I see significant differences in human beings that make a choice, or their base value system is they believe in God or they don't. And those that have a doubt that a God exists or any kind of poor relationship with God, you know, they get in a definite cycle of suffering. And what might appear to be improvements actually is, you know, they're doing something, you know, as they may be caught up in a cause for whatever their suffering is in the child and bear a standard for that particular cause, but they can easily remain in the suffering for many years, even though they're moving their feet and working on that cause. You can feel it and see it. They're still suffering. Those that believe in God do something similar in Kathleen, in Martha, in Jana, and that is talk with God and offer it up. And the very first thing that I say in all simplicity is offer it to God and say, show me the way. That simple. That simple. Show me the way. The second part, Debbie, you explained in your example with Mother Angelica. I have a headache. Pray to God. The second step, take an aspirin. She did something. She moved her feet. So for me, it's this simple. Lay it at God's feet, show me the way, and move your feet.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I wrote it all down. I hope you don't mind if I borrow it. That's amazing. I love your grasp on the whole thing, and I love how you started it with the belief in God, and then the talking to God, which is the relationship you have with God, and then to do something about it. I mean, that is such a catechetical teaching, John. That's amazing. You hit a home run with me.
Well, I don't know about that, but that's where I see it. I'm oversimplistic.
Well, John, I've heard exactly what you just described called prayers of the feet. It sounds like that's what you're describing. When you reach a point, you're in the middle of something, and you think, I can't go on, you just pick up that foot, and even if you move it 2 inches forward and move that far for today and 2 more inches tomorrow, each little step is like a prayer of the feet. And so
that's the key. And I think it's and forgive me, I don't mean to interrupt you, Jerry. The prayer is never-ending prayer of show me the way. It's show me the way, take a step. Show me the way, take 2 steps. And then say, show me the way again. And just keep show me the way.
Right.
Or in Mother Angelica's language, I've got a headache, take an aspirin. I've got another headache, take another aspirin.
Right. But to me, John, what I'm hearing is when we take those baby steps, and Jerry, you're talking about the prayers of the feet, that is just building our trust and our relationship with God, which is what he wants anyway. We know what God wants from us. And it's us that we resist. Go ahead, John.
No, you know, I was just chiming in, you know, the perfect example. I mean, for those that don't believe in God, it's the Alpha and Omega. What was before Alpha? What will be after Omega? So at some point, you have to choose to believe in God or not. I pray that everybody that don't finds a way to believe that God exists, part one. Part two, what did God do in order to further prove that he exists. He gave us his son, you know, lunatic, liar, or, you know, or Lord, you know, what is he? And everything, all the evidence we have is that he is Lord. He, Jesus really is a manifestation. He is God. He was here. While he was here, he did all the things we just said. He prayed, moved his feet. Prayed, moved his feet. Prayed, moved his feet. He just didn't sit in a corner with wise words, you know, in a chair and look all just wonderful and pious all the time. He moved his feet. He got dirty. He did stuff.
Exactly, John. And I'm reminded of a thought that I had really just the other day, and that is we have a world of people who are in full flight away from the only one who can give meaning to their suffering and relieve their suffering or redeem their suffering. And John, great take.
Come join the conversation. Give your take Monday through Friday at 12 Eastern on Take 2 with Jerry and Debbie.